told Eric, I said, just leave on the board finishing well. I just want to talk to you because I thought this really goes along with what he was talking about last week and when he ministered to our graduates. So we're just going to go back with finishing well. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. And I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name, amen. Jan Caldwell, Mark's not here today as well, but she's boarding a plane headed to Africa today. And she called me yesterday morning and she said, would you relay some testimony for me to the congregation? Said they were got a testimony in. The lady that's heading up their trip to Africa and they're in your case. They're your bookcase or whatever, your storage. I'm sorry? In the metal cabinet. About center ways. Chips are on the top drawer. If you can't find them, come get me and I'll show you where they're at. She likes to do me that way all the time. You know, he says, they're probably in there. I'll go look. Yeah, that would be a first, wouldn't it? That would be a first. Yeah. Anyway, she wanted me to tell you all, she said the lady that started the school in Africa and Kenya where they're going, her and this director were in Tennessee and they were just recruiting funds and resources for this trip and to go back. And the founder of the school said, I've been really praying that God would furnish us some Bibles to take back on this trip. And said the director told her, said, so even as you're praying this morning at a church in Oklahoma, they have taken up funds and going to send Bibles on our trip. She said, I thought that was so cool. Yeah, I thought that was so cool that was being done as an answer to prayer. So look over at your neighbor and just tell them, did you know I'm an answer to prayer? did you know I'm an answer to prayer? Yeah. So let's look at finishing well. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis. And we're just going to take a look, first of all, in Genesis 25. And we'll start about verse 20. It says, Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, his wife, and the daughter of Bethuel, of the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, the older shall serve the younger. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, and was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field and was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom, or Red. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. Esau said, look, I'm about to die. How many knows he's a little dramatic? I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me? And then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. And so he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils, and then he ate and drank and arose and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, we'll look at a few more scriptures here in a minute, but let's just look at some of these. And the first thing I want you to if you're going to finish well, and, you know, we're Americans. We're busy about doing, aren't we? We're just always busy about doing. You ask anyone, how are you doing? Oh, I've just been so busy. I've just been, you know, we use the phrase burning the candle at both ends, or I've just been so busy and just so rushed, and, you know, and but one of the things I think, if you're going to finish well, we need to own being who we are. Just own being who we are. How many knows that God gave us a planet, and some of the times we just need to be. We don't need to do. And as we're being, we need to just be who we are. Yesterday, for instance, Jan and I went with a couple of other couples that the friends and went took a we met them for breakfast over at IHOP, and we were on our motorcycles, and we went down to the culture center, the Chickasaw Cultural Center at Sulphur, and had a good ride and had lunch down there, and then came back through Paul's Valley and had a cherry limeade and other cold drinks there at Sonic, and really just a day off. Just it was a being day. Let me ask you something. How many of you learned that you just need to have some being days where you just maybe, I don't, and whatever that means to you, that wouldn't have been a fun day for you probably. Some of you are afraid of motorcycles, or, you know, just you don't like that kind of stuff. But I hope yesterday on this holiday weekend, or this afternoon, or tomorrow morning, or whenever, you'll just practice being. In fact, if your spouse or kid or somebody asks you to do something, say, I can't right now, I'm just practicing being. Thank you very much. I'm just being today. How many knows that God gave us a beautiful planet to enjoy? He really did. I mean, He gave us a planet. And here's something I want you to remember, is nobody can be you like you. Good, bad, and ugly. You know, the best and the warts and everything. Nobody can be you like you can be you. So just being, just spend some time in your life. And I think you can find it on the triangle where God came and He said, here's all the commandments hang on this. He says, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love your neighbor as what? Yourself. And so there's a love triangle going on there. And when we're talking about own being who we are, it's just saying, you know, this is who I am. I'm not changing for you, and I'm not going to take on somebody else's personality. How many knows in the world in which we live with YouTube and the age of information, and if somebody influences you, it's hard sometimes not to try to take on their personality. Or for me, when I see somebody that's just, they're just being in their natural environment, and they're just being who they are, and they're just doing it so well, whatever that might be. You know, you see our musicians up here, and they're just, you know, relaxed and playing their instruments and just being who they are. You know, they're just flowing and being who they are. And the singer just singing like a mockingbird in the tree up here, you know. We go up the track and we like to walk. And we'll walk around and there's always little mockingbirds. And guess what they're up there doing? Just mocking all the other birds that they know how to mock. Because that's who they're just being who they are. Janice says, sometimes you're just like a little mockingbird, aren't you? I hear voices and I hear people, and it amazes me, and I try to mock them and just have fun with it. When Bev comes in, Beverly, I'll say, well, how you doing? You know, it's just that's Bev. You know, that's how she comes in, and I'm just being. When I get up in the morning, I'm sort of like a bird. I like to whistle. You know, my wife gets up and she just wants to be quiet. How you doing? Just be quiet. She's just being Jan. You know, now give her a coffee and give her a little while and let her get her makeup on, all that kind of stuff. And she's more outgoing and more, she's being. That's, you know, and when we respect as spouses, we respect them just being who they are instead of trying to change them to be us. How many knows we get along pretty well? Pretty well. Just practice. You know, it says here, the boys come out of the womb. In fact, they're in the womb and they're struggling, trying to figure out who they're going to be and who's going to be in charge. And I've never been pregnant and I've never had twins and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? When they're in there and they're trying to do the struggling, and Rebecca says, "Man, if I'm healthy, what's going on here?" And so she inquires of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "There's two nations in there and they're struggling." And sure enough, there was two nations. And they looked completely different, didn't they? Coming from the same womb. Completely different. In fact, if you've ever had more than one child, you know what they're talking about. One of them, you know, we had Jakey. He was the oldest and a boy, and he came out, and he was a kind of a mama's boy, like stay home, kind of like Jacob did. And he, you know, and now he would go hunting with me and fishing and things. He liked that as well. But and at 9 o'clock, it didn't matter if his friends were over or we had company we hadn't seen in a long time. At 9 o'clock, he got up and he said, "I'm going to bed." That's just who he was, and we let him go to bed. If you're his company, you need to go home or sit and talk with us, but we let him go to bed. Let him be who he is. And then along came summer. Dark, you know, dark hair and dark eyes, and she looked like her mama's side, and was more like me, really. But Summer could stay up all night long since she was this tall. Two different people. Two different plans, two different. But the thing is we tried to let them be who they were. I can remember coming to church, and Jakey, you know, he loved to watch TV and he loved to get in character. And so if there was a rescue show on, he'd go get his gun and his camouflage suit or whatever he had, the match, whatever was on TV. And sometimes he would like to wear it to church. And I can remember going to church, and it'd been camouflage or different kind of things, you know, and people say, "You let him wear that to church?" Yeah, that's who he is. You know, how many knows material doesn't make you a Christian? I almost wore my shorts and flip flops to preach in the day. You know, but I didn't. I just wore my casual stuff like I normally wear because I didn't want to upset some of you, you know, be a stumbling block for some of you. You know. I want to tell you something, Christians. We need to let people be who they are. In fact, we need to let people be who they are, wherever they are, in whatever level they're on. Because God hadn't called us to try to change people into our image. He's called us to be light so they'll reflect the light of Jesus Christ in us, and they'll want to change to the degree that God wants to change them to be who they are. It's really a good life, isn't it? We make it hard because we're so judgmental. I saw something yesterday, and then talking about being, and I don't know if you know who John Wesley is, but he was really brought Methodism to the United States. And in 1735, 37, 38, somewhere along in there, he met with some of the Choctaw elders and chiefs. And I wish I had brought that with me today and just read you a few examples of what they're... But he interviews these elders, and he's just trying to introduce the gospel. And you'd really never know it. I mean, he gives questions about, like, what happens to the... What do you believe happens to men after they die? You know, he's trying to question them about their beliefs. And they say, well, the red man, when he dies, he walks up and down where he's been. And it's a good afterlife, you know. And he said, what about the white man? And he said, well, we don't know what happens to them. We've never seen what happens to them when they die. Just simple. But I thought, I really appreciated about him was he was just letting them be who they are. He wasn't trying to say, well, you need to be like us and you need to accept Jesus as your Savior and you need to, you know, and all they need to. He didn't try to saddle them with that before they saw Jesus in him. One of our bishops one time said, you know, we need to be a witness for Jesus Christ and if necessary, use words. That kind of thing. That's what he did. He was just, and he talked to them about what they believed, and he didn't. Well, there's no judgmental. He would add stuff like he would say, "Well, you know what?" He said, "We believe that the good people walk downward, the bad people walk downward when they die. And but we believe those that have lived good and served God, we believe they walk upward to the heavens. It's just a good simple explanation for somebody that could understand he didn't say you should believe. He just said what we believe. Letting people be who they are. Just being. And let me encourage you, church, just to take time to practice being who you are. I think sometimes we stress out because we've lost our identity. We don't even know who we are. You know, they came out and Esau, it doesn't mention about his childhood, but it says, Here's who he was. He was an outdoors kind, so he spent time outdoors. He was a hunter, so he would pursue the animals and all the game that he was after. And Jacob, he says him when he was just being Jacob, said he would cook. And here's the thing, you know, when you're just being who God created you to be, you can get pretty good at that. And if you're just being who God created you to be, you don't have to try to remember what you're supposed to be. Because you know who you are. It comes natural for you. You know, I love to see people just being who they are and doing what they love to do. And that's what I want us to grab hold of this morning. Say, you know what? What did God create me to be? Some of you love chocolate and some of you don't love chocolate. Some of you like chips and cheese instead of, you know, me and Summer, we'd rather have a chip and a cheese, and Janet would rather have a chocolate bar or a chocolate ice cream or, you know, some sweet something. We're all different. But just enjoy the difference in being who you are and who God created you to be. And how many knows when God created you for being, He created you and made you enough? You're enough. I mean, he's ever felt like you're just way short of what God created you to be? I'm telling you this morning, you're not. You're everything God created you to be. Now, we may get lazy once in a while, or we may stumble once in a while, but, you know, God created you and just to have fun with you and have life with you and serve with you. Remember in the beginning when Adam and Eve was created, He would come down and walk with them in the cool of the day? He wants to fellowship with you and with me, right where we are, in the hobbies and the things that we like to do, and just being who we are. Just being who we are. So just practice being who you are. Enjoy the planet. Enjoy the planet. There's a lot of things to do and see, and so that is a big part of your life. That's a big part. It's a big thing to God when you just be who you are, enjoy what He's given you to enjoy, and do it with a grateful heart and grateful attitude. How many saw Oprah's last finale? Wasn't that good? We recorded that and watched it the other day, the other evening, and I thought it was really good. And she said one thing. She said, "I know this, that all my success, it was bigger than me. It had to be Jesus." And she said, every day when I would come down of the elevator to go to the platform, she said, every day I would just thank God. I'd always offer up a little prayer of thanksgiving to God. And she said, and she ended her program, she said, "To God be the glory." You know why? Because she's just being Oprah. But if you saw it, and if you didn't see it and you'd like to see it, you need to buy the tape or whatever you got to do to see it, because she really, what she talks about that whole, it's just being you. Just being who God created you to be. And she said, you may not be able to touch millions like I have, but you can be light just being you. Just being you where you are and using what God gave you to use. Just shining the light around. How many knows everybody has some kind of a sphere of influence and a circle around you that people are looking at you? They are. They're just looking at you. And so let your light shine and just be you where you are. Just be you who you are. And accept others for who they are. I think if we're going to win any souls in the 21st century, we're going to have to let them be who they are. And love them right where they are. Without judgmental, being judgmental, without any kind of a, you know, just loving them. To the point that they say, I want some of that. I want some of what that person has. You know. So, and then the second thing I thought about was we need to own being what God has called us to be. You know, we've all been called I like to communicate the gospel. I like to teach leadership and train and help people reach their full potential. And so that's what I love doing. But what do you love to do? What did God call you to do? And here's something that I've noticed with these two individuals here. When Isaac says to Esau, he says, "Go out and get me a deer, some venison, and bring back." He didn't say, "You know what, son? If you know, I know that you're not a very good shot, and I know there's a chance that you probably can't. But I sure a deer would sure be good if you could, you know, if there's any way you could get me a deer." He just knew this kid was good. If you send him out deer hunting, he just knew he was going to bring back a deer. I know we have some deer hunters in our crowd, and some of you. You know, that's a little hobby for you, and so I would, if I was wanting a deer, I'd say, "Hey, if you get an extra deer, you know, or if you happen to get a deer," but not with him, was it? He just knew when he went out to hunt, he was going to bring back a deer, and it evidently took him a little while because his brother sneaks in and gets the birthright while he's gone, but he just knew he would come back with the deer. How many knows when you know what you're called to do and you're good at it, you know you can just accomplish the mission. You can just accomplish the mission. Whatever it is that mission is. You know, if you're a good nurse, you just know that your patients are going to have the best care. If you're a good teacher, you just know that your students are going to learn something. If you're a good servant, you just know that the people where you're involved at is going to be served well. Whatever your part is, you just know if you're good at what God has called you to be, you just know that, you know what, this is going to be good. You don't fret about it. And then there's Jacob. Jacob's the homeboy. He likes to stay at home. He likes to cook. We got guys out here right now that's cooking for you. Thank you, Lord, for guys that like to cook, right? They're out there cooking for you and for me. Thank you, Jesus, for the cooks. And evidently, he was pretty good at it. How many knows if you can buy somebody's birthright with one bowl of stinking soup, you're a pretty good cook? One bowl of soup, you know, and some bread. I'd give them a birthright for that. Yesterday, some people called that bought our house over there where we were living, and they said, "We have your birth certificates." We went through, they wanted us to, when we bargained, they bargained for my desk in my office, and they said we were going through these little file folders, and I guess when Jana cleaned it out, or me, whoever it was, we left the envelope, had our birth certificates in there. And they're nice Christian people. And they said, they came to the door yesterday and they said, "Well, hello, how are you doing?" I said, "I come to claim back my birthright." I got my birth certificate here, you know. But he liked to cook. Here's something else Joseph was good at. He was good at shepherding. He had a shepherd's heart. And we're not reading the story today, but he goes in and he's in the tent with his dad and Isaac is getting ready to give Esau the birthright and the blessing of the firstborn, and Rebekah hears about it and she says, "You know what, when Esau leaves the tent and goes out to kill his deer to bring back to his dad," she says to Jacob, she says, "Go and fetch me a goat and we're going to prepare and I'm going to send you in for the blessing. I'm going to send you in for the blessing." Now, I want to show you a scripture. Look over a couple of chapters in chapter 27. And you know, he sends out, Rebekah really is instigating this, but what I want you to know is, sometimes, church, we stumble. Sometimes we're involved in things that are not very godly. And some of the times when we're doing this, we think we're failures and God doesn't love us anymore, and you know, and we've really made a big mistake or we've messed up in just doing what God has called us to do. Anyway, they go in and look at verse 27, verse 8. It says, "Now therefore, my son," this is Rebekah talking to Jacob. It says, "Obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now in the flock and bring me from the two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it, that he may bless you. before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man." And watch this statement. Watch this statement. This is Jacob that's going to be called later on Israel. This is where the whole nation's name comes from this man, and it starts with this kind of a scheme going on. And I just want you to know, when you're doing your best at what God called you to do, and even when there's some selfishness, even when there's some you really was kind of didn't display the whole truth, how many knows God can still use you? God still loves you. How many when your kids were growing up, you ever, you know, they took something, broke something, did something, and you ask them, they said, "No." You do that? No. Do you take that? No. And you knew they did. They broke it, they took it, they whatever, and they just stand there like that, and they look at you like Eve must have looked at God when she, you know, "No, I didn't know." How many say, "You know what, but I still loved them. They were still my child. They were still blessed, and they'll still receive my inheritance when I'm gone. You know, they're still my children." Now watch what he says. He says, and he knows what they're up to, and he says, "Perhaps my father will fill me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him." Well, you think? "I shall seem to be a deceiver." Well, you are a deceiver. You are a deceiver. "I shall seem to be a deceiver." But here's something I want you to know. She says, and here's a mother's love, isn't it? Saying, "You know what? God's told me you're going to get the blessing. God has said to me, the older shall serve the younger." And I'm not sure why Rebekah didn't go in and talk to Isaac and say, "Look, God has told me that the younger shall serve the older, and so when it comes time for the blessing, juniors get the blessing." I'm not sure why she didn't tell him that. But how many can remember when Abraham and Isaac, and they were kind of alike, and they had good-looking wives, and they had, when famine would come, and they would take their good-looking women and go in search of food, that both of them had a problem with owning up to, "This is my wife, Sarah, this is my wife, Rebecca," because they thought in their minds, and I'm sure Abraham passed this right on down to Isaac, just like you and I pass our weaknesses and our fears right on down to our children. Can you say amen? See, we got to, the truth shall set you what? Free. So we pass our fears, and sometimes we pass our confidence, and sometimes we pass our tempers and whatever else, our temperament, whatever it is, down to our children. But when they take them in, they said, "This is my sister," and that introduces my sister, because they thought in their head that, you know, this king will look at my good-looking wife and he will kill me and take my wife. And so both of them had a fear. So neither one of them was perfect, just in case we're picking on young Jacob here. Neither were perfect. But he says, and his mother says to him, "And I shall bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be upon me, my son. Only obey my voice and go and get them for me." And so she's saying, "I know that the blessing belongs to you." And can I just make a point here that we need to hear? You know what? Sometimes when we're looking at people and we say, "You know what? I cannot believe they did that." I just want you to remember about Isaac and Abraham and Jacob when they did that. And they were still in the middle of God's blessing, in the middle of God's anointing. Are you with me? They were still in. And if we'd have been looking at this on the outside and saying, "I can't believe that, the little deceiver." Well, you know, his name is Jacob the supplanter. To supplant means to take something by force or by being crafty, you know. I just want us to know, and if you're ever wondering, how could God bless them? Well, this is how. This is how. I don't know how He does it either, but He has a... Who knows, the Bible talks about His grace endures forever. And I'll guarantee you, we like that verse. We may not like it when somebody seems like they've been deceptive from us or from whomever, but I'm telling you, we like the word when we need the word grace, don't we? When we've stumbled, when we failed, we like the word grace. So it's not a bad word. It's a good word. It's good to practice. But I just want to point out today, sometimes when people are just being who they are and they fail, we need to have grace on them because that's what the Father does. And to know this, that you may not understand why God will still use them. In fact, here's a good thing to do. When you don't understand why God would still use people after they've done such a thing, well, just remember the last time you've done such a thing and He's still using you. Here's what the Bible says. We that judge do the same things. Same thing. And I've proven that my own life. I don't know how many times. I think, you know, this one or that one. I'm like, well, how in the world could they do that? And the Holy Spirit said, well, you did that. Just you did in this area over here. I think, oh, that's how they did that. That's how they did that. I'll never forget one time. It's a teachable moment. My son. You remember when Jimmy Swaggart, popular preacher in America, and he failed to sin. He was hanging out with prostitutes and doing, you know, stuff, and it all came out, and he repented and on national television, and I'll never forget, my son was this young teenager, and he said, Dad, he said, why in the world didn't he confess that before he got caught? And I said, son, it's probably like the time, remember when I caught you in that and you didn't confess? And I did. He said, oh, that's why. And he knows when we can bring it home, it's just easier when we bring it home. But I just want you to know, this is the cream of the crop. This is who God uses. This is the same Jacob that will become Israel. This is the same. But here's something else I want you to know. For me and you and for those we look at, the story says that when Jacob gets the blessing, and he's afraid because Esau says, as soon as my father passes away, I'm going to kill you, Junior. And probably how many knows he had the capacity and the means to do it? I mean, if you can track down a deer, you know, your brother's no problem at all. And so he says, I'm going to kill you. And so Rebekah says, I'm going to send you away and let him cool off. And so he sends him away. And the deceiver goes and he finds him a beautiful wife and named Rachel. And he's so excited about this new beautiful bride. And Rebekah sends him to her brother's house. Uncle Laban's, and he serves him for 7 years. He said, I'll serve you for 7 years for her hand in marriage. And boy, he can't wait. And he said, the years passed just like a day because he was so in love, just skipping along in love, you know, tiptoeing through the tulips and flirting with Rachel every day. And the deceiver was deceived. Huh? Come on now. I mean, we don't have to judge him because how many knows? We already got a judge. And he don't lose count. Now he's, thank God for his grace, but he says, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so he'll, Mr. Deceiver, I got the blessing. I'm out here and I got me a good looking wife coming right. Well, I'm telling you, I am a blessed man. So they have the wedding party and he sends the bride into the house, and Jacob enters the house, And Jacob's so excited, it didn't even turn the lights on. Well, it is his honeymoon, you know. Who needs lights? And so they consummate the marriage, and everything's good until the next morning at the daybreak when they look, and it's the wrong woman laying there in the bed with him. He's got the older sister, and he's been deceived. He's been deceived. And he goes to Laban and he says, just like me and you, I cannot believe you deceived me. Like he would never deceive, right? He's standing there with the blessing, the deceiver standing there with the blessing, just angry at his father-in-law because he's been deceived. We're a lot like that, aren't we? Hello? You know, I'm an impatient man. That's one of my weaknesses, and it's good to notice your weaknesses and faults. And sometimes when people are just enjoying their drive in front of me, it just really aggravates me. Yeah, I'm just confessing my fault before you. Every once in a while, not very often, but every once in a while when I'm just being, you know, I've just got to where I slow down a little bit and I'll see people swerving around me. I thought, there I go, around me. Kind of like, how dare me enjoy my drive in front of me, you know, it's a reflection of me. And so I thought, wow, you know, when I want to slow down, you know, just enjoy my drive with my wife or whatever, and somebody rushes around me, I thought, that's me, that's on another day right there, just just going on around. So anyway, the story, he finally does get his the right bride. He works. He said, well, fulfill her week, and then I'll give you the Rachel, and then you can work 7 more years for her. Yeah. So 14 years, this is costing. You know, we can't deceive and not cost us somewhere. All we can pray is that God give us grace as we're harvesting the crop that we planted. You know, that's the best we can pray for, and then learn the lesson and do well. Now, the last point I want you to make, first one was own being who you are. The second one was own being what God has called you to be. Jacob was a great shepherd, wasn't he? I mean, he was a great shepherd. When he went to Laban's house and began to tend sheep, God just began to bless him, and all of his herds multiplied and everything. And so finally, Jacob says, you know what? I need some wages here. I'm going to have nothing. I have 14 years, and I'm not getting any younger. And so he comes and he says, you can have all the speckled and the spotted, and he takes them out, and he begins to work that, and God just begins to multiply. So he's got tons of stuff, and there comes a time when God comes to him and says, it's time to go home. It's time to go home. It's time to face the music. And how many knows he still has a brother that's matured and even a better hunter than he was when he left. He's better with a bow than when he left. He's better at doing what he loves to do when he left, and he's still got to go back because God has said. You know what? Sometimes we have to go places and go back to where we've messed up and go back to where we've said things and done things that wasn't right, and we have to make it regardless of how tough it may appear. Are you with me? In fact, some of you may need to make that trip this weekend or very soon to go back to some place where you thought, I'm done with them. And God may send you back there and say, no, you're not done with them. I need you to go back and face the music. I need you to go back. And how many knows we can go back and be light and salt, and it can be better than we ever thought. Here's a little advantage we have over Jacob. At least our relatives or whomever God sends us back to probably won't kill us. And that's really what he thought would happen. When he got back to home, he breaks up into two groups. And not only that, but he gives a lot of animals as gifts to his brother. Oh, this is for you, my lord, and this is for you. And so he's trying to butter him up, and he puts him and the children in the back of the pack. So he's still planning. He's still, you know, Jacob. He's still being who he is, but, you know, he's going back and still doing and being what God called him to do and to be. Now, the last thing I want to give you is this. We need to own our failures and our mistakes. That's a big one there. That's a real... You know, here's the alternative to that. When you and I don't own our failures and our mistakes, guess who we give them to? Well, not really God. We give them to somebody else. We don't blame God for our mistakes. Usually what we usually do is, I know I was impatient, but Randy just got on my nerves. They just didn't treat me right. That's why I acted the way I did. That's why I called them what I called them. That's why I said what I said about them. They deserve it. It's truth. Instead of owning my mistakes, it's easier, isn't it, to blame everybody else for why I'm the way I am or why that didn't take off, you know, why that didn't get done. And how many knows blame is not a cultural thing? It's not a race thing. It's the first couple before there's even a race around. Remember, God comes to Adam and says, did you eat? Remember what Adam said? I'll tell you why I ate. Remember that woman you gave me? Remember her? The one you brought me? You remember her, God? You remember that one? Cost me a rib that you made. You remember her now? Walked around like this for a week. Remember her? The woman you gave me. She gave to me and I ate. See, there's no culture around. There's no siblings, there's nobody. You know, it's just them. It's them and God. And so it's not a cultural thing. blame has come out of the sin system when we fell short. And then he goes to the woman. Is that right, Eve? Did you give to the man? She said, and she didn't say, well, yes, sir, I did. I'm really sorry about that. What did she say? It's the serpent. It's the serpent's fault. Remember the serpent you created and threw down here in among us? It's his fault. So the blame game's been around as long as there's been people. It's not a new thing. You know. I hear people say that, you know, different jobs, different departments they'll run, and they'll say, you know what? I have to be bossy. I have to be, you know, when things are all just messed up, you know, I have to be, because they wouldn't listen if I wasn't. In other words, I couldn't be civil and have them listen. And as long as people believe that for real, you know what? They'll always have confusion and chaos in their midst. They always will. How many watches Cesar Millan? It was the Dog Whisperer. I love to watch him. Cesar Millan says, most of the time I don't have to train the dog, I have to train the people that own the dog. I train people mostly, and he does mostly. And some of the goofiest people you'd ever want to see. You know, just don't have a clue, and their dogs are just running amok everywhere and just you know. But you got to own your mistakes if you're ever going to finish well. Because if we start the blame game in one area, we'll just, you know, it can become easy to blame everybody around us. How many knows we're all in the same economy? We're all in the same country. We're all in the same family. You know, we're in the family of God. And so we don't need to blame other people for why we don't make it, why we fail. You know, people blame their company, why they can't make anymore. Well, I can't make anymore. Company just, well, change companies if you know. But if you're going to just blame people and gripe about not making enough, change companies. Change careers. Whatever it takes, you know. Just let's don't play the blame game anymore. Just take responsibility for what we've done. Look in 27 and verse 36. After Jacob comes in and takes the blessing, Esau said in 27:36, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright." Is that true? He gave it to him, didn't he? For a bowl of soup. Huh? See, but I'm telling you, before we get too holy, we're a lot like that. We're a lot like that. "He took away my birthright, and now, look, he has taken away my blessing." And then he starts talking to his dad about a blessing for him and all. And then this is where he says, verse 41, "Then when dad is dead, I'll kill my brother. I'll kill my brother." Now the good news is, later on we know that Esau actually did own up to it, because when Jacob comes home and he's got all of his plan and how he's trying to bless his brother and make amends and come home, his brother has, I think the Bible said, 400, how many ever soldiers it was or men around him that came with him, and he meets them out on the trail, and he is excited to see him. He's laid the blame down for now. He's laid it down, and he welcomes his brother home. And let me say this: if God is sending you back to just be who you are and to do what you do into a place where you really don't want to go, you know what? God can make it better than you think it would be if you go with the right heart. Just a submitted, obedient heart. Just going on back to where God sent you to go. It may not be as bad as you thought. And I know it won't if you take with you unconditional love. Just going on back with unconditional love. I can't tell you how many times I've done that in family or old friends or whomever it might be, or situations where there's been some controversy or some little tension and stuff, and just go back with a loving, kind heart saying, "God, I'm taking responsibility for my part and what I did, and laying that on the table. Here's what I done wrong, and man, if I hurt your feelings, or if I, you know, and just laying that out before them, and watching all the stuff just melt away, and being better than I thought it would be, ending up better than I thought it ever would, because I own my part of the mistakes and failures I made. That's how we finish well. Yeah, just owning who we are, saying, you know, this is who I am. I don't have to be anybody else. God created me. And then owning what we do. This is what I do. Whatever you do. Went to Addie's little graduation. Graduating from pre-K. Yeah. And they read off what they want to do when they grow up. I want to be a policeman. I want to be a doctor. Addie, when it came up to Addie, the teacher said, and Addison Roberts wants to wash dogs and blow dry them and comb them and make them pretty and get paid for it. Yeah, summer baby there, isn't it? Yeah. I assume she wants to be a dog groomer, you know, but she put hers out there. And then the last little boy, and I was so proud of it, the last little boy that got up and came and all these, you know, wanting to be doctors and teachers and policemen and stuff, and he said, I want to be a trash man. Just I thought, you know, you ever be a little kid and you see those guys coming down, barreling down the road in those big trucks, and the arm comes out, you know, and that, to boy, that's like, I want to do that, you know. Yeah. In fact, I told my wife the other day, I said, you know what? I said, we was watching the Oprah show, and at the end of her show, she goes over, and she goes through all of her staff, and waiting up at the top at her office was her little white dog. I forget what his name was, and she picks it up. Huh? Solomon, okay. And she picks him up. Solomon, we have made it, baby. And Solomon's just like, you know how dogs do. And I told Jan, I said, wouldn't it be good to have an attitude like a dog? They don't care if you're Oprah Winfrey or Jack Eldred or Randy Rowe. They don't care. You're home and you love me. wouldn't that be good just to have like a dog's attitude about that? You know, just, and they'll accept you. If you come over to their house, you know, they'll just accept you and lick you and whatever, you know, however they greet you. I wouldn't want to lick each other, but you know what I'm saying? Just to have that kind of attitude. Just to have an attitude of I don't care where I'm at. This is home. This is where I am. And just have an attitude of gratitude. You know, just being who you are and loving whoever God gave you. Father, we thank you today for just giving us instructions from your word. God, we see that we had two different brothers with two totally different attitudes and personalities and traits and even characteristics, and we see how you use both and how you bless both, and in their failure, you know, one sold the birthright and expected it back. He didn't get it, but you still blessed him. He still had a good life in his homeland and plenty to eat, good family and friends. And like Jacob, Lord, that was completely different, but you blessed him, and he lived through his time that he was deceiving and being deceived, and he came back and he was obedient, and you blessed him, and then you not only blessed him in that way, but you said your name is no longer Jacob but Israel, and made him a nation that's still lasting today. And today, Lord, we're a lot like these two guys. We come with all of our shortcomings and our faults and flaws, and we just, we give you praise for being able to use us and bless us and make us a blessing. I do ask, God, that you would remind us today of who we are and just to live doing that. No one can be us like we can. I can be me, and each one of these individuals here today can be them better than anybody on the planet. So you created us to be. No one else. We don't have to try to imitate someone else or act like someone else or grow to someone else's liking or what. And so we just ask today that you'll help us to take time to be who we are and enjoy this planet. Take time to do what you've called us to do with all of our heart, mind, strength, and soul. And help us, Lord, when we make mistakes and and we fail, just to own that and stop blaming others and stop blaming whatever the economy or whatever we blame and stop griping about whatever's the next thing that we can gripe about and just enjoy this place and take ownership of our failures and our victories and just live in a manner that would be pleasing to you. Let us be light and salt as we do this to others, to encourage them to be what God has called them to be and do what God has called them to do. We ask it all in Jesus' name for your glory. And now, Father, we ask that you would just bless our fellowship and bless the food. Bless those that are out cooking and preparing and getting it ready. We just ask that this would be a great time of fellowship. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all the church says, amen.